Hour number two of The Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Make sure to get yourself a nice pack of White Claw for the upcoming Tennessee game day this Saturday night. Let's see. The podcast will be uploaded moments after the show goes off the air, like always. The Periscope is uploaded right now live on the Facebook and Twitter accounts in case you would like to follow along with the show that way. You can check out the fanrunradio.com website to get a bunch of great action on Tennessee news as well as just sports news around the leagues. And then last but not least, check out fanrunradio.com. Or excuse me, check out the Fan Run Radio app. I already said the website. Check out the Fan Run Radio app. It is free. F-R-E-E. You can take the show, take the station, wherever you're headed throughout the day. Whether you're at home, whether you're on the go, whether you're even in the shower, I don't know. Maybe you love to hear Charlie's voice while you're in the shower. Well, with the Fan Run Radio app, you can do whatever you want with it. But hey, you already knew all that. Guys, we got Steve McCullough. He's going to be joining us coming up this hour. I believe next segment. Is that right, Chance?
Correct.
As we got a little U.S. Open to talk about here coming up in hour two.
Yeah, he said over, when we talked to him, you know, two times last week, said he'd come back, break down the tournament. We'll talk about, you know, the winner, Bryson DeChambeau. Talk about the competitive vibe it had going into the last day. I mean, it was a pretty good Open, pretty good major. Outside, you know, Tiger not being in it and some of the other bigger names, it was still pretty popular. I think you're seeing a lot of the new stars of golf really starting to shine.
I think you are too. So you saw DeChambeau finish the Open 6 under. He was your leader. And then Matthew Wolf, who I'm sure we'll talk a lot about with Steve coming up, he finishes even. But, man, what a showing for the 21-year-old. So that's coming up here in a couple minutes during hour number two. But before we get there, guys, a couple of big games on tonight. What is it going to be? Game four of the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, they're not playing until Wednesday.
They're not playing tonight?
They didn't want to compete with Monday Night Football, and they wanted the Western Conference Finals to catch up. So the Western Conference will play again tomorrow and get their game three in, and then you'll just be going back and forth every day. We'll have our game four, then they'll have their game four, and so
on
and so forth.
They don't want a long layoff like the Lakers had going into.
It was mostly about competing with Monday Night Football since ESPN had the rights to both games, and they didn't want to put one on ESPN and one on ABC.
Why not?
Well, then it's going to.
I mean, I know you're splitting.
You're splitting your target.
Your viewers, but I mean, it doesn't sound that bad. Look, I just want my sports on. I want to get to Game Four of the Eastern Conference Finals, but
you gotta wait two more days.
I think that actually may hurt the Heat a little bit. I feel like they're a streaky team, Charlie. I feel like they need to play.
I wouldn't say that.
A little bit of time off.
They've had two long layovers in between both series because they swept and then won 4-1, and they came out hot in game one.
I don't know if it necessarily hurts the Heat, but I think it helps the Celtics more, giving Gordon Hayward more time to rest.
I was just about to say, I swear my next thought was Hayward. That's what I'm saying. Like, it gives Hayward more time. It even gives, like, maybe Tatum a little bit more, as much usage as the Celtics have gotten out of him. And we could say the same, I guess, for a lot of the Heat players, too. But, yeah, Gordon Hayward coming back, that was a big deal.
Yeah, it was. I mean,
he's a playmaker for them.
He played 31 minutes in his return, shot 2 for 7, 1 from 3 from behind the arc, but did a lot elsewhere in
the
game.
It was little things,
came down 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, a block, was still in the plus on the plus minus. Only came down with 6 points, but, man, that's his first game back after being out for the entire playoffs. That's a good sign for the Celtics.
Yeah, he put a solid 31. Like Brandon said, you give him a little bit more time off, he can even increase those minutes somewhat. You might see him score more after he gets his legs back under him. I mean, I thought he looked good with the stash, and I thought he looked good. It's like really, like, he's kind of a balancing effect on that team. Like, well, they can get, like, really, sure, you know, going through Tatum and Brown, then sometimes they may, like – especially Brown may go in a, like, cold slump, and even Kemba Walker, and then he'll get you know, like you say, 6 points, or he'll get a couple nice rebounds, and he'll get, like, those assists that you need sometimes that Kemba's not. He's a great all-around playmaker. And if he is hot, he can definitely go out and get you 30, 40 points.
To me, I think the biggest thing that he adds is he's an extension of Brad Stevens on the floor.
Well, that too, because he played for him in college, and Brad Stevens has a lot of trust for Gordon Hayward.
He allows you to keep two stars on the court at all times if you're the Celtics. Brad Stevens or Gordon Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Marcus Smart played well. I mean, and I mean, I think he's the kind of the straw that stirs the drink, but he doesn't score all the time. I don't know. I think having Hayward back, he just gives you so much more that you can do on both ends of the floor. Just gives you some added depth. But I mean, I think he's the reason you won game three. Gave you some good minutes. Played a lot more than I expected him to, but I don't know. I'm excited for game four.
I think that when you look at this series, and especially when you look at this kind of new news that you do have, I mean, they're going to have off Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. Just Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So that's three full days. We talked about it a little bit last week. Which team looks like the more physically tired team? Which team looked like the more emotionally tired team? To me, both of those questions were answered with the Celtics. I think that Brand's absolutely right. I don't necessarily think that, you know, this necessarily hurts the Heat. Although, if I am the Heat, I'm wanting to play these games right away. Like, I'm feeling pretty good about my team. I'm wanting to get these games over with so I can get these wins over with. But, man, if you look at the Celtics, which team I think needed a little bit of rest? Which team I think needed maybe a little bit of time off the court?
I don't want to give Brad Stevens any more time to game plan either. I think he's very good at game planning.
Sure. So, obviously, it seems like we got to wait a couple days for that one. That stinks, I'll tell you that. But otherwise, man, in the Western Conference last night, AD called game. AD hits a game-winning three-point bucket from the corner as time expires to send the Lakers home happy as they go home with a 2-0 series lead over the Nuggets. Now, don't count the Nuggets out. Boy, have we learned that over this playoff so far. 2-0, you know, the Lakers are close to closing, but until they hit that fourth number, you can't count the Nuggets out. But, man, what a game and what an ending last night between the Lakers and the Nuggets. This was also one of those games where, I got to be honest with you, I didn't really know what was going on because there was so much football on yesterday. Kind of, once again, my Sunday football mentality takes over. Pretty much forget about all other sports going on. But I did get to watch the end of this game, and a fun one. AD called game. Well, yelled out Kobe.
Actually called Kobe over to his Los Angeles Laker teammates. Jokic just, they don't have really a stop for AD. I think he's handled Jokic and the Nuggets. And perfectly honest, he's handled pretty much everybody in the playoffs. AD is just such an X factor for them. Like, with LeBron having him out there and just how he's elevated his game. This guy also never been to these, you know, feats in the NBA, and he wants a ring, and you can tell, and he's playing phenomenal.
Well, I'll say I think the Lakers got lucky last night. I mean, I think they got the offensive rebound, but what are you doing?
Last Plumlee? Possession?
Why is anyone other than LeBron James or Anthony Davis shooting that last shot?
You know,
they got lucky that they got the offensive rebound and it went out of bounds and they got a last second shot. But why is anybody other than LeBron or Anthony Davis taking that shot?
I guess I missed it. Who shot the shot before?
Alex Caruso.
Caruso.
I mean, he was wide open.
Was he wide open, though? Okay.
Yeah, he was a wide open.
I missed that part.
Like, I feel like he was having himself a good game.
A little heat check, Brandon. A little heat check.
It's hard to turn that down at the same time.
To win the game?
But at the same time, it was like, maybe he should be doing that.
He's trying to get his name in the paper.
Hey, the Lakers got lucky. I agree. I mean, they also had the Nuggets miss some uncharacteristic free throws, but – I mean, you were talking about how AD was incredible. So was Nikola Jokic.
I'm not saying he can't do anything with AD.
Oh, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying he was also incredible. It got really fun to watch them go back and forth last night in the fourth quarter. AD had, I think, 22 of his points in the second half. He was struggling there for a while, and Jokic scored the last 11 points for the Nuggets, and they were just going at it.
Oh, he tried,
and he played great defense on that final possession on that AD shot. Miles Plumlee was supposed to be guarding
on AD. The switch.
He got caught on the screen.
But he points.
And he couldn't get around it. And Jokic had the wherewithal to still turn around and contest the shot from guarding the inbound.
I was
going to
say, he was guarding the baseline inbounds.
And it was a contested shot. I mean, he was up there fingertip at the release point, jumped to the side of him to avoid any contact. It was definitely a contested shot.
Now, is that Miles Plumlee or Mason?
Actually, I couldn't tell you.
I think
sure.
That's Mason Plumlee.
Might be Mason.
It is Mason.
I'm not sure.
It's Mason.
Yeah.
My bad. Sorry, Plumlee brothers.
But it was awful defense by him. You can't.
But, yeah, I mean, Jokic contested that perfectly, though. The only way you could have played better defense is if you would have blocked the shot. So at some point, you also just got to say, man, AD is just incredible, and we did what we could, and that sucks.
Yeah,
but we couldn't have played that much better from Jokic's standpoint. I guess you could have had Plumlee not get screened.
Well, not even just him not get screened. It's 2 seconds left. I don't care. You have to fight over that screen to guard that man. Even, they're passing to AD. The ball isn't getting passed to anybody else once it goes to AD. There's not enough time for him to catch it and right. then pass it to LeBron. Unless there's just somebody wide open as soon as he caught it, like, underneath the basket. He's catching that. He's shooting that. Mason Plumlee is caught pointing for somebody to get out there when there's nobody to get out there because, like you said, Jokic is guarding the inbounds, and he made a hell of a play to get back and even to contest the shot. But Plumlee's got to fight over that. It's like he didn't want to have to be guarding AD like he thought it was going to be an ISO situation. There's 2 seconds left. You got to get out there on your man. You got to. And he has gotten roasted on Twitter last night, after it happened. He's getting roasted today from the Denver media. It was awful.
He only played 9 minutes yesterday at 2, but obviously in there for one of the biggest, and that is the minute that will be talked about.
I feel like I have to say this.
Okay.
I was gone last week. Hats off to the Nuggets for advancing to the Western Conference Finals.
Yes, sir.
I was wrong. Turns out that the real chokers were the Clippers. And just because you had Paul George and Kawhi Leonard does not change the fact that you are the Clippers. So,
dilly dilly.
Clippers gonna Clipper. Still haven't been to Western Conference Finals. But, yeah, you gotta walk back that Nugget slander, huh?
I do. I mean, I'll own it. I was wrong. But, I mean,
they're not going to get past the Lakers, but
whoa,
good effort.
They're not down 3-1 yet. There's
golly,
still a lot that could happen.
We've said that every time. Now, again, I'm not going to learn from my mistakes, and I have the Lakers picked to win this series.
Give me the Nuggets.
But, man, the Nuggets just will not die. They won't go away. We'll see what happens in the next game coming up. I guess that'll be on Wednesday as well.
Tuesday.
So they play two games?
Yes, because they want to catch up.
They want to catch up with the Eastern Conference Finals. Played.
I see.
Nuggets right. to the finals. Keep
let's see.
It.
What else is tonight on your television sets?
Monday Night Football.
Monday Night Football tonight. Let's see. Who do we got playing? We have
Raiders,
the New Orleans Saints and the Las
the Raiders.
Vegas Raiders. Any big thoughts on that game?
I don't know. I might change my pick.
I mean, the Raiders
go with
got
the Raiders.
A little bit of a young electric offense.
I might.
The Raiders
I think
are
you
trash.
Should.
I just might.
I think you should.
Don't try to like. I
think
you
should.
Like,
this is a bold
don't do it, Chance.
Chance, you live on the bold moves. You're a bold kind of guy.
This guy over here, think you should do it. And now I'm not going to do it because this
it.
Guy's
do
telling me he
it.
Thinks that I should do it.
The Saints
guy.
Are winning this game by 20.
Oh, how the
this
tables
guy.
Have turned.
This guy.
Tell him how. Tell him he should. If he thinks you should do it, tell him he should.
Yeah, you should. Exactly what Brandon said.
You guys absolutely all three not. Should pick the Raiders, I think. Oh, I'll stick with the Saints. I need
you really think they're
going
to get beat that bad, Charlie?
Oh, I think it's going to be bad.
Really?
I mean,
no Michael Thomas?
Part of me sitting here
it's
thinking,
all the Alvin
you
Kamara
can't
show.
Lose your first game in Vegas, but the other part of me is saying it doesn't matter. There aren't any fans there, and the Saints are just that much better of a team, and Derek Carr is just not a good quarterback.
The Saints are a 5.5-point favorite over the Raiders tonight. But again, I mean, Charlie's right. There's a lot of reasons to watch this game. The Raiders will be breaking a new stadium. Excited to see how that looks.
They're in Vegas now.
SoFi Stadium looks amazing. I have loved watching those games in that stadium.
It's no Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, you're right. It far exceeds old Nissan Stadium. And then last but not least, guys, on the go ahead.
Breaking injury news.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey, who was thought to have a minor injury.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Out for the season?
Expected to be sidelined now multiple weeks.
Oh.
Well, not good for the Panthers.
Wow. All right. Well, that's a little bit of a look into what is on tonight, as well as Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Finals, which I will mention again at some point during this show. Gotta let the people know. I mean, the Stanley Cup Finals are on, ladies and gentlemen. It's a big deal. Hey, You stop that right now. You stop that
hockey
right now.
Hockey is good. Hockey is fun.
Stop that right now.
Okay, hold up, wait a minute, all good, just a week ago, crew at my house, and we party every weekend, so on the radio, that's my favorite song, make me bounce around like I don't know.
All right, here we go, back here on the Blitz, 11:19 a.m. Monday, September 21st, starting out your week here with the boys. All right, big golf tournament over the weekend, as we mentioned earlier, Bryson DeChambeau is your winner of the 2020 United States Open golf tournament that was played at Winged Foot. DeChambeau goes 6 under as the leader and the winner of the tournament. Matthew Wolf finishes in second place. He is even the 21-year-old superstar. And then number three is Louis Oosthuizen, who finishes 2 over on the tournament. So after a crazy start to the tournament, where you have a whole slew of guys under par, certainly evens out by the time the thing closes down on Sunday, as you only end with the eventual leader and the eventual winner as the only player who was under par on the tournament so far. We'll go right over the phone lines and welcome in Steve McCullough, who rejoins the show to talk a little golf action. Steve, good morning. Welcome to the Blitz today. Thanks for being on.
Good morning, Bryson DeChambeau. He's the man.
He is the man, the myth, and the legend, the SMU grad himself. I was cheering for DeChambeau.
You were.
All of yesterday.
Yeah, so was Charlie. Yeah. And Steve.
So was I.
This wasn't. Weren't you chilling for DeChambeau?
No, I despise
him. Oh, that's right. You don't like him. You're with me. Steve. DeChambeau, he finishes off strong, and like Rick said just a few minutes ago, he was the only golfer to finish under par in the last round, and that hasn't happened since 1955 by a guy of the name Jack Fleck, who beat Ben Hogan, you know him, in an 18-hole playoff, Steve. What did you think about DeChambeau's performance and really how, I mean, he used that, his length off the tee and he really played some good golf there Sunday.
It's like, move over, Dustin Johnson. Here I come. My name is Bryson, and I'm taking over this tour.
What were some of your major? No, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, he's just he played incredible. All my hats off to him. He was not my pick. I don't want to say I don't care for him, but he's just an unusual dude. But maybe he's just charting a whole new course. And the USGA, those guys in the blue jackets, the blue blazers, they're going to be investigating this distance thing, and they may be instituting some rules to start cutting back on these 380-yard drives.
Yeah, I mean that was kind of his method and what he used for the tournament, which was a shocking revelation to, I think, a lot of viewers who are watching the tournament. But, you know, we talked about all last week how one of the biggest keys, especially to this course, was hitting your fairways, right? How it's they're so narrow, and there's so much that goes into kind of just, hey, keeping the ball online. That's a lot of what you're trying to do, and that kind of sometimes when trying to keep it straight on the course, sometimes that might kind of add up to why some of these guys are taking more shots per hole. Not DeChambeau, though. Yesterday he came out, or I guess over the whole weekend, he basically came out and he said, that is not how I'm going to do this. I'm going to hit for just total power. So he was just slinging the golf ball all over the course and, again, like only hit 23 out of 56 fairways off the tee, but it hardly mattered when he just had a, you know, it was certainly ankle deep, but when he just had kind of have a chip into the green after that, what did you think of just kind of his approach to how he was going through these holes and playing what it seemed like to me, playing a completely different game than so many of the rest of the competitors out there?
He has charted an entirely new course. We've seen this happen before. John Daly did it at the 91 PGA, came out of nowhere and was bombing the ball all over the place, taking target lines that nobody else was taking it, hitting it over trees just like Bryson did. Tiger came out. They had to Tiger-proof the golf courses. They took all these old-school golf courses, and they had to lengthen them because Tiger was just destroying everything. So here we go again, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was just incredible to watch him, right? And even Xander Schauffele said after the tournament, he said, it's not about hitting fairways. It's about hitting the correct side of the hole and hitting it far so you can hit a wedge instead of a six iron out of the rough. I mean, we've heard all the stories about Bryson DeChambeau putting on all the muscle and all the mass during quarantine and really just beefing himself up to be considered a beefy boy on the golf course. And man, did it pay off for him yesterday.
It sure did. And man, for him to clear the field by six shots and then eight shots to the guys that tied for third. Harris English was in there too. He's one of the guys I kind of follow out there, and I got to throw him in there. He played great, but those guys, they just couldn't put any pressure on Bryson. And man, Bryson is he's been ridiculed in the past for some of his offbeat takes. You know, he plays with a set of irons where every one of his irons is the same length. Nobody does that. Nobody. But he does.
He's such a weird
cat.
Wow,
that is weird. Steve, what would you say with the finish, the win by DeChambeau, and then the youngster, Matthew Wolf, who was also chasing history, and he looks like he has a bright future, but he does blow. He was up for, three rounds?
No, he took the lead Saturday.
He took the lead on Saturday, and after he held the 54-hole lead, and he finished his runner-up. Would you say it was more of DeChambeau just playing some nicer, or Wolf just kind of dropped the ball?
Well, Wolf did what so many guys not named Tiger Woods do in that position. Tiger was 21 when he won the Masters that first time, and Wolf was 21 years old. And what usually happens is you got to earn your stripes. You got to learn, you know, you got to have that bad final round a few times before you learn how to close the deal in those situations. So he shot five over, and Bryson at minus three, he goes out and shoots three under. He shoots a 67. That's incredible.
Just nearly flawless on the 67 on Sunday.
You just don't see that. So he beat poor Wolf by eight shots. You know, that's what Tiger did to Colin Montgomery way back at the 97 Masters when Colin was mouthing off and saying, oh, well, we'll see what Tiger has on Saturday. And Tiger, I think, shot 65 and Colin shot about 74. And Tiger just blitzed him, and Colin looked like he'd been run over by a truck.
Steve, I guess for anybody not named Bryson DeChambeau, yesterday was a tough day on the golf course. Tony Finau shot a 71. McIlroy had a 75 after shooting an incredible 68. Man, he had a roller coaster of a weekend. Let's see. You had guys like Patrick Reed with a 74, Matsuyama with a 78. I know that, you know, there's not much kind of an overreaction to some of those guys playing yesterday who might have had some bad rounds, but is there anybody who you're kind of looking at from over the weekend who projecting forward, whether it be for good reasons or bad reasons, you think that they might be on some kind of course right now just after what you had seen from this weekend? Maybe a guy like Rory, maybe a guy like Patrick Reed. Just do you have any kind of thoughts about some of these golfers going forward here into the next some of the tournaments?
Rory's been disappointing for quite some time now in majors. You know, he hasn't won a major in 6 years, and he's got all the talent in the world. So we really don't know what's going on with him. Justin Thomas was disappointing on Sunday. He did not play well. I think it's going to be the Bryson DeChambeau and Dustin Johnson show. That's going to be your guys heading into the Masters in about, the Masters is going to be like November the 12th, I think, is when it starts.
Yeah, you're right.
That is correct.
We got a little while to go.
We do.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of going into the Masters, and I know me and you have talked about this off air, but I'd like you to tell everyone else. And just I want to talk about Winged Foot too. Overall, what did you think about the conditions, you know, having the major this late into the year? You know, it was supposed to happen in June. We have it in September. And then moving forward with the Masters happening in November, like I said, I know me and you have talked about it, but I'd like you to tell these guys, you know, like, how are the conditions going to be? The people are going to be talking about how are the azaleas going to look? You know, what are going to be some of the major, I guess, complications or obstacles for those guys heading to the Masters in November?
Well, what you're going to see at Augusta, Augusta in the summertime is a dog track. The Bermuda grass is, I mean, there's no ryegrass, and they close the course, and they do all kind of work on it. But then they plant ryegrass. They've already planted it. It's coming up. I'm sure it looks beautiful, or it's going to be looking beautiful in another 6 to 7 weeks. The azaleas, the flowers, I can't imagine. You're not going to see anything blooming, so I don't know what they're going to do about that. But the golf course, as far as playing, it's going to play hard and fast. It's going to play very difficult. The greens are going to be much firmer than usual because they're softer in April. They're going to be hard in November. It's going to be tough.
Now, someone was trying to explain to me that they have, like, do they have heat sources underneath the grass, like heated pads? Someone was trying to explain that. I didn't know if there was any truth in that, so I wanted to wait to ask you.
They do. They've got some heating coils under those greens because they don't want them to freeze, and they don't want any frost on them. You know, it's not that unusual in Georgia in early April to get a late frost, and of course they can't have that at the Masters, so they've got to try to control the weather, control the conditions. So they've got this stuff. They got a sub air system also. They can suck the moisture out of the greens. They got everything.
Yeah, it's crazy some of the technology they have. I mean, you see it on NFL fields as well, right? Like in places like for Chance's Green Bay Packers, yep, or at Soldier Field in Chicago. Like you see these NFL fields with heat underneath them. And I don't know how it works. I don't get how it works. I don't care to know how it works. All I know is it's pretty crazy
my pay grade.
When you can see, you know, when you tune in at 1 o'clock and you see snow everywhere except for the football fields, because again, they do kind of have that heating technology.
Yeah, it's the sub air system. It is not just at the Masters; they've got it other courses, and of course that's what they're. I think that's what you're talking about. They're using some of that in NFL fields and stuff because, you know, places that get a lot of rain, I would think maybe that stadium down in Miami or in Miami Gardens or wherever the Hard Rock Stadium is,
yeah,
that would be a good candidate. In any outside area that gets a lot of rain, they want to be able to get that moisture off that field, so they just kind of suck it right through the soil and into a collection system and then it just runs off. They just pump it out underground.
Wild. That is wild.
It is wild. And it's going to be a wild rest of the way for these guys. Steve, you talked about, you know, Dustin Johnson, also I guess Bryson DeChambeau. A couple other names maybe Tiger can come back and repeat. Anybody else we'll look for, and then we'll let you get out of here. We'll obviously bring you back on Masters time, but some other guys that we can go ahead and do some research on that you'll be looking at.
Well, I'm very disappointed in the way my man Justin Rose played. He missed the cut. Phil Mickelson looks like he may be done as far as a competitor in big-time major tournaments. Tiger, I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb. I think Tiger's done.
Wow.
Wow.
Before
big statement.
How does he? Well, how many
agree.
More does he need? He needs
no. Charlie agrees.
He needs what? One to tie. Is that it?
He needs one more.
He needs. He did all that work, and had all the fanfare building up to his win at the Masters when he right. made his big comeback, and he got number 15. Jack's got 18.
He still needs. Yeah.
So So he's got to win three more.
Three more. Wow. Hey, way further off than I thought.
Yeah, his stint where he really kind of fell out of the limelight, you know, whatever happened with his marriage and he had those years, that kind of really halted his pace. I don't think he'll pass Jack now. I'm one of those persons that always thought he was going to pass him and easily. I think he'll get close, but I'm with you. I don't think he'll pass. But I will not count out Tiger for the Masters because he loves that course.
He does, and it's kind of – he knows it so well.
And I feel like people still get intimidated.
If he wins another one, he'll win that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was going to say, I still feel like people still get intimidated when he's out there playing at Augusta National.
They definitely get intimidated. I tell you, the people, I think they talked about it in the broadcast a little bit. The people that suffer when Tiger's playing, the people that have the hardest time are the people that play in the group immediately in front of where Tiger is. Because as soon as Tiger hits his shot, everybody rushes forward. And so all that gallery is just crushing the group that's in front of him.
Oh, yeah, that would be tough.
The group behind him does fine, and the guys that are playing with him, they're okay, but the group in front, they just get hammered.
Yeah, you want to be behind so you kind of have a quiet space after that gallery moves along. Well, Steve, we won't keep you any longer, and thanks so much for coming on with us and being our golf guy now, being our golf expert to actually bring a little credibility to this show and talk a little, you know, golf with us. We really do appreciate it.
Hey, you guys have got lots of credibility. If I can add just a little bit about golf, I'm happy to do it.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Well, we'll bring you back on the Masters. Sound good?
That sounds great. We'll have to see who over the – you know, the guys aren't going to be playing a whole lot. The big names aren't going to play a whole lot for the next 4, 5, 6 weeks because this is the fall season on the PGA Tour. There's not a whole lot for them to get excited about, so – they're going to be hunkered. They're going to be sheltering in place. You know, they're going to be practicing and hanging out with the family. And
DeChambeau is going to be on that bench press. You know, he is just repping out.
Nah, he's getting ready for Thanksgiving, dude.
Every single day, just bench press. That's what I think that guy might do.
Yeah, Koepka will be back. There's a name. Ooh, Koepka comes back. It might be Bryson and Dustin and
Brooks Koepka.
Sign me up. That's a good trio right there with a lot of stories. Hey, well, Steve, thank you very much, man. We appreciate everything for you. Again, like Chance said, we will check back in with you for a tradition like no other for the Masters, and we will certainly try to make this one, you know, talking to Steve, another tradition like no other. Not too bad. Hey, some good stuff there. All right, hey, let's take a quick break. We're a little bit over the time, but we'll be back on the other side of the break. See what else we can get into today as we are rolling through hour number two of the Blitz.
It's time to celebrate. The NFL season and college football is here. At MyBookie, winning...
Well, the Emmys were last night. Anybody pay attention to that whatsoever?
No.
Not even a little bit?
No, there was a good football game on. Like a really good football game
there
on.
There was. And a good basketball
game.
Yeah,
both of those things.
I keep up with it. Just on my phone, I was tracking who was winning. I didn't.
You were tracking the Emmys from your phone? What kind of life do you live, Chuck?
I love award shows.
What kind of life? I have never tracked them from my phone,
Look,
though.
I'm with Charlie on this one. I made my picks. I was watching it on
my
phone.
Oh, my God. Who are these guys?
Like, I'll go vote on
I like award
shows.
Oh, my
God. I'll watch the video.
Now,
the MTV
were you
awards,
watching
award,
from your
award.
Phone because the dinner at Better Charlie bet on the awards?
No, I am not.
Got it.
Okay, I know it sounds like I bet on the Emmys, but I did not bet on the
it
Emmys.
It does sound like you bet on the Emmys.
I do bet on the Oscars, but not on the Emmys.
It's cool. I like the degenerate gamble too, but not on the Emmys.
I like the Oscars and the Emmys.
I don't bet no damn award show.
I'll bet the Golden
That's
Globes.
That's when we
too,
know we have a problem.
I love
like,
award
I'm
shows,
serious. Yeah. We should not be betting on awards.
Like, I'm already counting that down the days till the CMA awards and the.
But there's some people. Look. I feel like there's some people out there, though, who are not sports people at all, who would say, like, that is the stupidest thing in the world to bet on sports when there's a lot of the times you have no idea what's going to happen, at least if you're betting on something like this. Maybe typically you can have a much better idea of who it's going to wind down.
I would say in some games, though, you know what's going to happen, like the clear favorite ones.
Yeah.
I'm channeling my inner theater minor, Chance.
There you
okay.
go. It's important.
Okay, over here, keeping up with the awards, the Emmys from your phone, Golden Gloves. What about the SAGs,
hey,
too?
Charlie and I are cultured, okay?
You're on those?
We are in multi-faceted
Do you guys watch?
Of culture.
No, if you're cultured, you watch the SAGs, because that's what cultured people do, because they know that's the real award show. The Screen Actors Guild. Yeah,
Dude,
I know.
Look at this
yeah,
guy.
That's,
look at this
that's
guy
the real one.
The Tonys?
The SAG.
That's the
Watching
one.
Tonys?
Well, that's the ones where the other actors, like the committee, actually votes on the good
right.
stuff.
I like the independent movie. Movie award show
the Tonys. You watch the Tonys?
No, I don't watch
the Tonys.
Like, who watches
the
Tonys?
Tonys is Broadway.
Yeah,
I would be impressed if you
yes, watching
if you
the
were
Tonys.
Keeping up with the Tonys every year.
What happened to this show while I was gone?
Oh man, a lot.
I don't know.
A lot, my friend.
I don't know. This escalated. This right. is uncharted territory.
Okay, fine. I'll take in a different one, Brandon. You'll be much happier with this route. Game two of the Stanley Cup Finals is tonight. Brandon, give me your thoughts. Give me all of them. I want every single one. I know you've had many thoughts leading into the Stanley Cup Finals. Lay them all out on the table right now. Here you go.
Do we have a cricket sound drop?
Not today.
No.
But you could. Just in
do a cricket sound.
Just the air. The dead air. Let's everyone.
Pregnant pause.
Pregnant.
Yeah, I don't.
Come on, give me all of them. I know you got some.
Yeah, I'm really
some hot takes.
I'm really digging, trying to dig them up.
Yeah,
really digging my takes right here. You're going back to those ones you made
back at the start of the NHL season. You know, back
you had so many predictions
way back last October when the season started. You know, I had all those predictions. I'm really trying to remember them now.
Let's do that hockey. Let's do that hockey.
I hope your team wins.
Thanks.
That's about all I can say. I hope the Stars win for Rick.
I hope your team loses, if we're being honest.
Why would you hope his team loses, though?
He's
kind of like you in that sense. You do that, too. You
yeah,
hope
you know,
everybody
I
else's
too.
Team.
I do that, too. I very much fall into the category. If I'm not happy, I don't want anybody else to be happy because of their sports teams.
You don't deserve a Stanley Cup.
I very much fall under that category. When the Cowboys looked like they were about to lose, you bet your ass I wanted the Jaguars to pull back and win. You bet your ass I did. If I can't be happy, I don't want anybody to be happy. But however, I'm happy that you guys are.
What kind of
you guys are joining
miserable
person
along. Are you?
Very. The answer to that is very.
I just want the Lightning to win because they've just been such like a fun, hardworking, enjoyable team that just has not choked in the playoffs year after year. Now that they're finally here. It'd just be nice to see those deserving group of guys close the deal and get themselves a cup.
Ask me how I feel about the hockey.
Chance, big hockey game tonight. Game two of the Stanley Cup Finals. How you feeling?
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
That's about all I got from you.
All right, so you got to go watch this video now. So I went and I went into the rabbit hole
of
Laszlo. Yes.
Is there more?
They do a bit where Chance the Rapper goes and
he's
doing
e-sports.
The same Laszlo, but he's at the League of Legends tournament.
Yeah.
And he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, he's the e-sports.
Absolutely no idea. And it is, it's a really funny one.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Do you guys think that you could describe what was happening at a League of Legends tournament?
Very easily.
There's even a good one, too, he's...
I've watched a lot of... Can I admit this with pride? That I have tuned in to multiple
esports,
League of Legends esports tournaments.
Well, I mean,
Fortnite tournaments.
You can do it, but I don't know if you can do it
with pride. Yeah.
Do I lose all sense of credibility if I admit
that? That's the thing. It's like, you can definitely do it, but is there pride?
Because that's still in a hypothetical sense right now. So I like, am I going to lose any credibility if I go ahead and stamp that confirmed?
No,
I mean,
dude.
I feel like
it's your life, man. You've already done it.
Look, either way,
you're 99% of the way yeah. there at this point.
I do like, think I could.
You're just
I could
asking
call
for permission
a League of
at
Legends
this point.
In between award shows, you flip on a League of Legends tournament.
Look, they're good. They're good. They're entertaining.
Are we talking award shows or League of Legends?
Both. Okay, I mean, now that you're saying it, both.
Again, I stand behind you on award shows, but I cannot get behind watching other people play video games. I don't know why that became such a popular
thing. I'm surprised you haven't bet on other people playing. You did bet on. Didn't you bet on some virtual games this year?
No, I thought I got
he
real
was close. Betting on Coach Doug's.
Okay, I say I thought he bet on some virtual games.
No, that's the exception.
Here's
Coach Doug's
the way that here's the way that I look at the esports conversation is why do we necessarily watch football, right? Because we're watching people who can do the things that we are interested in to the absolute best of their capabilities in the world. When we watch football, it's because we want to see the absolute pinnacle of what that has to offer. Something that we might have grown up doing, something that we do all the time. We go and throw a football in the tailgate, just like we might go along and play a game of Madden, or we might play a game of Fortnite. That's how I look at the esports, is you're just watching the best people in the world play at the best level in the world. I look at it the exact same way that we might watch football or basketball or baseball.
But sports are real.
You look, I'm not on. Apparently, I'm not on that conversation. If I as a big wrestling stan, apparently.
Hey, go Lightning, baby.
Speaking of entertainment and things that are entertaining, Chance, did you see the Waffle House fight in Clarksville on circulating Twitter?
Oh, I wonder where it happened at.
Have you seen this video?
I meant what street, Brandon? I know it happened at the Waffle House.
Have you seen this video?
No, I gotta watch it now.
We might need you to
whatever
react
happened
to
on
this
Riverside,
live on air.
Was there a Hooters adjacent to the left?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll check it out.
Apex Pet.
Boy, if you have not seen it.
Oh, my God.
There was a fight at the Waffle House.
Shout out to the 931.
Not safe for work, by the way.
Shout out to the 931.
In Clarksville. And Chance, your people were going at it.
Yeah.
Your Clarksville people were going at
it. Those weren't my people, but the Clarksville people were going at it. I don't know those people. No, it was I'm not surprised Clarksville can get a little ratchet. I'm also not surprised at the fight at the Waffle House. And I have a confession. I don't know if it was that Waffle House. I couldn't really tell because there was nothing to show the outside.
It just looked like a Waffle House.
Yeah, so it could have been the one that's near the Hooters that is downtown on Riverside, or it could have been the one that's like out off of 100 off of it's Fort Campbell Boulevard going towards the Army base. All right, so I was probably about 26.
Okay.
I was like 26. Yeah, maybe a little bit younger. Maybe 23 to 26 range. And I got in a fight at the Waffle House.
What?
Yeah.
You were in a scuffle, a brouhaha?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fist
a kerfuffle. No, fist the cuffs.
Oh, my God. Okay, what
I
happened?
I beat the hell out of some old man. I'm just going to be honest.
Old man.
No.
Old man. Yeah.
You're not even letting me tell you why it
Go
happened.
Chance.
Thank you, Rick. One thing. He deserved it. Quickly,
you're
I'm
damn right.
trying to tell his quick story. I'm not a fighting person, but we had went out for the evening. Everybody, after you go out, you want something to eat. We're going back to our house, me and my two roommates, and we're going to the Waffle House. This weekend, one of our best friends, his girlfriend had went out with us too, and like she just went out with us, and like we were taking her to her car, and my buddy was out of town, and so like he was like, watch my girlfriend for me, all this type of stuff, like telling all of us, we're all good friends. And as we're walking out, these guys, older gentlemen, when I say old, I was like 23, 26 range, so I was around that range.
Sure.
And these guys were like late 30s, early 40s. That's when I say these old guys. They're out of shape, fat old guys. So walking out, he said something to my friend's girlfriend. Say, hey, man, she don't really want to be bothered. We're literally trying to pay and walk out.
Yeah.
And still, he's like, all right. So he said something else to her, very derogatory. It was very bad. So we're like, hey, man, like, really, like, we just want to leave. We don't have any problem with y'all. Then he looks at me, and he calls me a racial slur. And I was like, okay. Now we're cooking with grease.
Uh-oh.
Now I'm mad.
Yeah.
And so then we're like, we go outside, and he's still mouthing off at me and my roommates, also my best friends, still like just mouthing us, cussing us up and down, cussing her, derogatory terms, calling her all kinds of names, calling me the same racial slurs over and over again. I said, all right, man, all right, let's do this. So this old guy comes running at me and throws the slowest punch I've ever seen in my life. And I just duck it. Then I just mollywopped him. You know what a mollywop is? I gave him like 4-piece and a biscuit on somebody's car. And didn't mean shout out to the person whose car was accident, because then he came out and was like, y'all need to get off my car. And he might have had a gun. Don't know. But he reached in his waistband like he had a gun. Clarksville's pretty, pretty dangerous sometimes.
Okay.
So then all this happens. But through all of this, I get blamed for starting the fight by some random drunk woman inside.
Oh, no.
She's like, no, he did it. He did it.
She had unreliable witnesses at the Waffle House.
She worked there, and then the rest of the staff, the cook staff, came out and vouched for me, like, no, no, they didn't do anything. They were trying to leave. They didn't do anything. I got put in cuffs momentarily. The only thing that saved me, one of the officers that had put me in cuffs, my father, before he died, was a longstanding Clarksville Police Department police officer and detective. And he looked at my name. He said, oh, you're Bear's son. That's what they used to call my dad. My dad was like 6'4", like 280. Big dude. 200. They called him the Bear.
The Bear.
And a much stronger bear than the bear we know, by the way. And so then he just so I got off pretty much because of nepotism. And he's like, oh, I knew your father. We were, you know, partners for a long time. Not partners, but worked together for a long time. They let me off. Then after that, the woman who said it was my fault, she came out and was like, nah, he actually didn't start it. They were just defending themselves.
True story.
I couldn't believe it. I almost went to jail for defending myself at a Waffle House where the whole staff had my back, and me and my best friend beat the hell out of these two old guys. Look, and they went to the hospital and they got arrested.
If that is not how you want to start off your Monday with that kind of story,
it's National Pecan Cookie Day.
The energy. National Pecan Cookie Day.
National Chai Day.
Okay, keep
it. And it's National New York Day.
Bang bang. New York gets its own day, I guess so. Man, if that's not a way to start out the week, I don't know what is.
They needed to know. It was a good story, but they still need to know the days, Brandon.
Always.
Jamie with Old Ben Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike.